Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Stylish Bride Podcast, the show dedicated to all things bridal style and empowering women to be their own muse. Since 2004, we've dedicated ourselves to helping brides feel confident, comfortable, and beautiful on their wedding day. It's a long and winding journey, my friends, but we are here to tell you that you can do it, and we will show you how. Now, let's get you dressed, styled, and down the aisle.
Welcome back to the Dress, Styled, and Down the Aisle podcast. I'm your host, Dee.
And I'm Julie.
And today, in honor of Mother's Day, this weekend, we're talking about all things mother's wedding fashion. That sounded like a long-winded statement, but nevertheless, we're talking mom's fashion. If you're feeling a bit lost during this process, you're in the right place. We're talking all things etiquette, where to start, how to pull your look together, and everything in between. You definitely don't want to miss this. So before we dive into our tips, Julie, can you tell us what the challenges are for mothers when shopping for their wedding looks? As we know that more often than not, it's one of the hardest things to find dresses for them after finding the wedding dress.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny. It's working with moms is one of my favorite things to do, actually, because I find that it's so rewarding to help them find a dress that really makes them feel amazing, because there are a lot of, I guess, you know, parameters is a good word for it on this dress. And it's different than buying a normal evening gown, which can be hard in itself, but you're the hostess of the event very often, whether or not you're even paying for it necessarily, you're still the mother of the bride, which is a very honored position, and a lot of attention is going to be on you. So you want to balance being absolutely spectacular, but also understated enough that it's not over the top. And that can be a challenge. Like, where do you find that middle ground? And we've seen so many moms just feel like they don't even know where to begin because of that. Add on to it the fact that you want to coordinate with the feel and vibe of the wedding and the color scheme, and that there's tons of options out there, but often feel like there aren't any options. And then really, moms say to us all the time that their shape is different than it used to be. And it's no secret that postmenopausal women, their bodies change, and it can be hard for them to know how to dress this body of theirs and how to really feel comfortable and at ease in something that they have on. So all of these things combined can make it really challenging for them. And I love being able to help them.
It's interesting because we always talk about the passion, as you keep saying, it's one of your favorite things, but it is truly so special when we have a mother of the bride and finding the right piece that, as you mentioned, covered a little bit her body, made her feel comfortable, but also spectacular. I mean, there's so many things to consider, but once they find the piece, it feels almost as special as finding the wedding dress because they're part of it. I mean, it's your mom. So I think it's amazing to really extend that part of our service to them because they really appreciate it and they need it and they love it too.
Yeah, it's really true. And wait, Dee, you never told me what your mom's wearing for Jada's wedding.
Oh my gosh, I was almost saving this story because I don't think we talked about this, but no. I, again, as a stylist, I it's almost shocking that she had a little bit of, I wouldn't say trouble, but just she went on her own first. She went with my auntie and she's like, we're going to go shopping. It's going to be fun. You girls only give us the color palette you want me to stay with in and what you girls are wearing. So we told her. But what we didn't realize is that by giving her what we were going to wear, she assumed that that's what she needed to wear herself. Like, we had yellows and like light blues, into her, she's never worn those colors. So she's like, oh my goodness, this is going to be very difficult. But she didn't express that. So once she went trying on pieces and we're like, oh mom, like, you know, we're surprised to be seeing certain styles on you. She's like, well, these are the colors you girls gave me. I'm like, no, if you want to wear navy, wear navy. Oh. she felt like, and I do think with my family, obviously when I come into the scene with some opinions, people do take them to heart. But I think she took them so to heart, and she was trying to be so good and follow every instruction that I think it limited her a little bit. Well, long story short, she found a beautiful navy off-the-shoulder gown. We'll add pictures, of course, after the wedding, but she felt beautiful and super simple. And but herself, my mom's like the girl that, like, the woman in kicks and like jean shorts and just a t-shirt. I mean, like mother, like daughter sometimes.
Right.
But it's her style. So when we saw her in certain things, there was one dress that she tried on and I saw the tiniest, tiniest, tiniest of cleavage. And I'm like, since when did you show cleavage? So it was really, really interesting and fun. But, you know, switching perspectives is like, no, it's not just a client. It's like my mom. So it was fun. It was a fun journey to finding her dress. But oh my gosh, with my sisters, we can laugh about it now because at the time it was so stressful.
Oh my gosh. Right. So you were actually in it. You were doing it, seeing it on both sides from the client perspective and also being the daughter.
Absolutely. Something that, you know, my older sister loved the dress that kind of showed a little bit more than the rest. And I kept reminding her, I'm like, Jaysa, this cannot be the first time she has a little bit of cleavage. We never seen it. Why do it now?
It's true. We always tell them the wedding is not the time to do it. Don't try out a new look, hairstyle, whatever.
But anyways, it was fun, but definitely, yeah, but having to put on the shoes of, again, her on the side of, as you said, wanting to feel like she wanted to fit the color scheme and making us all happy. But ultimately, we wanted her to feel her best and comfortable. So all the things you mentioned, it definitely applied to her very much. So even though she had all the extra help from a professional like me.
Yes, exactly. Oh my gosh. That's so interesting.
But with that, I would love for us to cover a little bit more about the etiquette and certain rules for mothers when shopping for the dresses for the wedding. What would you say some of them are?
Yeah, so traditionally, there is a rule that the mother of the bride shops for her dress before the mother of the groom. And I've seen this play out in a couple of different ways. And it really depends a lot on the relationship. And it also depends on who's hosting the wedding. You know, we've had plenty of weddings where it's the groom's family and it's complicated because does that mean then that the mother of the groom selects her dress before the mother of the bride? And, you know, it can get very complicated. But I think the tradition and the etiquette says the mother of the bride shops first. So I think that it's courteous to at least acknowledge that. And if she's like, oh, no, you, mother of the groom, can shop first, it's no problem. That is her prerogative. But I think it's really nice to defer back to that just out of respect. And I think that honest communication is definitely key. Not only like you were talking about in the story with your mom and sisters, really making sure that what you're telling them is clear and they understand how to interpret it, but also between each other and kind of getting a sense for how involved the bride wants to be. Like, we've had brides that want to see the dress and sign off on it before the mom picks it, and others that don't really care. They're happy with whatever their moms pick. So, and then the same thing goes for the other mother involved in the wedding, the mother of the bride or the groom. Like, how much do you share? How much do you get involved? And all of it, I think, comes down to communicating what your expectations are and what you would like and being open and honest about it, because it can get tricky and the waters can get very muddied and create problems. So there's that. And then I would say the last big rule is that you do not want to wear white or ivory or anything in between, really, to any event. And we've talked about this in lots of other scenarios where white or ivory is really reserved for the bride that day. And that's it. And unless it's specific and the bride says, we want everyone wearing it or whatever, you just rule that out completely.
I could not agree more. The part about communication too. In our case, the mother of the groom found her dress first, but she loves to shop. She's constantly, you know, she's always shopping. So we definitely were more gracious with it, but it's also our type of relationship where we kind of said, you know, Donna, if you find your dress first, we send us pictures, what, you know, little things like that. And even with my mom, she's, again, just her attitude in the whole process is so about the people and and approachable in that side. So on our end, it was reversed too, but it was because of our family dynamics and because we agreed to it before. So yeah, I would say stay open, stay very honest, because I think that's just going to help you along the process. But don't wear white. I have to say, to this day, we see it. We have the question of like, is it too white? We're like, come
on. Exactly. And I always like fall back on my adage of doubt means don't. Like, if there's a question, then it is too white.
Absolutely. So let's dive in a little bit more into the fun part, some tips that we can share about how to choose the perfect mother of the bride or mother of the groom dress.
You know, I think it's true. And maybe like the best way to handle this is to kind of go through some of the questions that we really commonly get asked. And one of them is whether or not they need to match the bridesmaids' dresses and or coordinate. So, you know, it's funny when I really thought about it, the mother of the bride isn't in one picture with the entire wedding party. The only time that you would have any crossover is if you have other daughters that are bridesmaids and they would, of course, be in their dresses. But other than that, you're really not in family photos. So it's more about syncing with the vibe and the overall aesthetic of the wedding and the venue and really coordinating with the bride herself and thinking about how they go together, because you will, of course, be in lots of pictures there. So, you know, that's one thing. You definitely don't have to match, but I would say coordinate with the overall feeling of it. Another one that's so interesting, and I even talk about this in my book, almost every mother we've ever worked with has said, I don't want to overshadow the bride. It's the bride's day. It's not my day. I just want to like feel comfortable. And I find it so endearing and lovely that they say this. And it's really coming from the best place. And they're saying, you know, this is not about me. But the truth is, it's very hard to overshadow a bride. But there is also a fine line. So I think that in almost every scenario, there's pretty much no chance of that happening. Every once in a while, you get someone who's just completely over the top and extra, and you don't want to look like you're trying to steal the show by what you have on, but you also want to bring it and love what you have on and love your outfit, but feel appropriate. So there is a little bit of a fine line, but I'll tell you, I don't know if I've ever had anybody even close to crossing it when it's a mom.
I keep going back to this message that we were sent recently, and I would love to read it because it goes along the lines of what you're talking about. And maybe, or maybe we can save it a little bit on like additional tips. But as you said, we have this question so often of like, what can I feel special or myself if the mother is likes to shop more than the bride itself, which sometimes it happens, most of the, a lot of times I feel like it's that's the case where bride's like, I hate shopping but mom loves it, so let's go for it, where they are so attentive to what they're wearing, but at the end of the day say, okay, I understand it's not about me. Maybe let's go back to it, because we have a really good question via DMs, which we always encourage you to do, but that we can address that and kind of apply it real time.
Okay. So that sounds good. You know, I think that another tip is that you shouldn't rule out strapless dresses. And I would say probably 90% of the moms that we've worked with over the years want some sort of arm coverage. And there's lots of reasons, but a lot of women dislike their arms. But a lot of dresses out there are actually strapless. So you can't really rule them out. But what you can do is educate yourself on how to add coverage in a way that looks like it is seamless and perfect. And, you know, there are a lot of ways to skin a cat, as the saying goes. And we have lots of tips and tricks on how to do this. And I actually put some in the book and show you four different examples of what you can add to a dress that would make it feel more appropriate and give you some coverage. But it's really important when you're shopping to just not rule them out, because that's going to like lop off a huge chunk of dresses that are available to you.
The next one too, as I'm seeing it as you're saying, like strapless sounds like such a scary concept to so many women out there, especially bustier. But at the same time, when you do it right and you find ways to add coverage, which I don't think it's a surprise. I've seen a preview of the book. So adding images and ideas and little things that we've done in the past is going to be, I think, groundbreaking to so many women and open so many more doors to rocking a strapless dress.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I love a good donut. That's all I'm going to say.
And then what would you say when it comes to, okay, so we are encouraging them to not rule out a strapless dress. So what would you think, I'm imagining, right? Support, internal support within the dress matters. Like, what other things could apply to maybe not ruling out a specific silhouette of the dress or form at the top?
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, definitely, definitely, definitely getting the right bra or bust support is going to be crucial. And it might not be in the dress itself. And you're going to have to get a little bit creative with how to get the support level that you need. I'm laughing at the number of different ways we have to use boob tape and lifts and all of these things, because that you can't always count on having a bra that is going to be comfortable. I mean, I personally despise strapless bras, but anyway, getting fit for the right bra is really important so that you can feel like you're sitting in the dress in the correct way. But in fact, actually, what's so fun is that right now we're working on a few custom dresses, one for a mom that has a lace-up corset inside. And you don't see it on the outside, but actually he made two dresses for her. And she's quite busty and always has struggled with that and getting the right support. And she loves it. She's like, oh my God, where has this been all of my life? Because she's finally feeling secure and shaped and supported in a dress.
I love it. I think it made all the difference. I mean, being part of those fittings and understanding how much it did for her and how she felt incredible, it's amazing to see every single day. Even if you've seen it before, you're like, this is the first time I'm witnessing a woman be so happy.
I know, it's so true. And it's funny to think about how every time we're lacing these corsets up, they feel like, you know, we're in a Jane Austen movie. And it's funny to think about how women don't wear anything like that anymore, but for like hundreds and hundreds of years, they did, if not more. And, you know, today, we have all of these like easy bras and bralettes and all of this stuff, and we have the freedom to be able to do that. But we're almost seeing women want to go back and get more support just because it is so hard.
Absolutely. I mean, we also have seen the part of, purchasing a bra and then having it sewn into the gown and all these things. But mm-hmm. I think that there's nothing like a true, like the construction of the gown with it from the very first moment. I mean, it's going to be so important, even from the design itself. Just understanding how much would you need is huge, and it's going to make all the difference. There's so many ways to work around it, but I think like having the right base is the biggest thing.
It's true. And it really affects how the dress fits. And there's a lot to consider when it comes to that. And, you know, I think another thing that moms come up against is whether or not your dress should have a train. And a lot of dresses are created with trains, and you have to decide whether or not you keep it. Some of it's personal preference. And we often get moms who are like, there's no way, I'm not the bride, I'm not wearing a train. And then others love having a little bit of drama back there, but, you know, of course, don't want to look like they're trying to be a bride. This is really personal preference and whatever you decide. The one piece of advice that I will give you is that if you do opt for a train, make sure that you put in a little bit of a bustle, because as the night goes on and you're in the reception, it will get stepped on, even if it's small. You know, if it's on the floor for a few inches, you're still going to have a problem when people are near you and it'll get stepped on. So that's something that you shouldn't forget.
So with that, I mean, that as you encourage and I guess allowed it to be more of a personal preference, what on the side of some more guidelines to give them, as in if you have a train, then you have to make sure that you prepare for a bustle, because if not, people will step on you. What other guidelines do you think that moms should be taking in consideration when buying a dress or the right dress?
Yeah. I mean, I think that you need to find a dress, and we say this a lot with brides, but you want to buy a dress for the body that you have right now. And everybody is on, you know, a tone up, slim down journey, weight loss, whatever it is. But it's really important that you don't have that pressure on yourself of trying to fit into a specific thing. So I always encourage our clients to find something that really feels good to them now. And if they achieve their goals, then it's great. However, once you start fittings, just like with a wedding dress, you want to be at your fighting weight that you're going to try to maintain until the wedding so that your dress doesn't get increasingly big and have to be made smaller, which can be tough on alterations depending on what the fabric is. You know, I think that that's something. And then another thing that we've been talking about more and more lately is whether or not the mom should change into a dancing dress. We've talked about this a little bit with brides when they change, and now a lot of our grooms change as well, or at least change their jacket or tie or whatever. And the moms are sort of wondering whether or not that's something that they should do. And I think that it's another instance where communication is key, because we've had clients where the brides are like, oh my God, yeah. And it makes sense and it's fun. And the mom loves like being more casual or being more free in whatever she's wearing and able to really dance. And then we have had brides that are adamantly against it and really are like, if you do this, it is a problem for me. So I think understanding where the bride is on that spectrum and where you are personally as a woman on that spectrum is really important and is something that only you guys can sort out.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's also too, there's so many changes going on, at least in most of the weddings we're working on these days. Brides are focusing on their changes and the next look and the next look. So I feel like it might be a touchy subject because that's their own focus during the wedding. So adding another change into the mix from someone else might create a little bit more stress too.
Yeah, it's really true.
So what about, what would you say when considering shoes? We have our honest moms that say, I will not wear a stiletto. I will not wear anything past 2 inches. But what would you typically say if a mom has found their dress already, what about shoes can we give as guidelines when, you know, thinking about the look?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And I would say that moms, for the most part, are much more realistic with what they will wear for the wedding than the daughters. I think younger women are still sort of in that, you know, I can wear stilettos all day and they won't hurt. And then you know, talk to them on their wedding day and their feet hurt, but moms are much more realistic with this. So the two things that we suggest all the time are finding something with a platform and also a block heel. And those two things will give you some height while still giving you stability and making it easy to walk in. And also to have a change of shoes. You know, you want something going down the aisle and for photos that are really beautiful. But honestly, after that, it doesn't really matter very much. So make sure you've got options to be comfortable in, and you're going to be on your feet all night and dancing and having fun. And you don't want to think about your feet hurting for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, these days, I feel like we even recommend it to most brides, no matter what age they are. We're like, everyone, wear comfortable shoes. It's a long day.
It's so true. It's so true. Sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't. But
yeah, that's true. Okay. So I think, and we chatted about this last episode, wanting to add some live questions or questions we've answered in recently that have come via our DMs. So if you're up for it, I would love to read you a question that we got over DM and see what tips you have for this mother of the bride.
Yes, absolutely. Of course.
Okay. So here I go. It says, hi, Julie. My daughter is getting married in October. And one thing that I found interesting that you talked about was finding a dress for your body type in the past and in your blogs. My struggle is a bit opposite of what you generally find with mother of the bride. I am 44 and I look fairly young, often being confused for being my daughter's sister and not her mom. And I am thin. So my challenge is actually trying to find a dress that actually makes me look like the mother of the bride without being too matronly, which my daughter does not want. Do you have any tips for that?
Isn't it so interesting, right? I mean, it's like, it's an unusual situation in terms of what we hear, but it really reminds you that everybody's different. And what you struggle with in your in yourself and also around the wedding is different for every woman. So what I would say is that first and foremost, you want to stay away from things that are going to be perceived as too sexy. So really deep Vs, skin tight dresses, really low backs or high slits, all of these things are going to be make it look like you're trying too hard. But I by no means mean that you should like wear a caftan. I think that you can be appropriate and really choose something to highlight and go for that. You don't need to highlight everything. And often it looks most elegant when, you know, you have, let's just say your favorite feature of yourself is your shoulders and you have a really great like décolleté, then, you know, maybe choose an off the shoulder dress, but keep the rest of it fairly simple. And that brings the focus to one area and keeps it looking very chic. I think chic and elegant are the ideas that you want to go for, and keeping things simple and sophisticated is what will help you do that.
Oh my goodness, I'm clapping on my end. That was great advice. I love doing this. I think that there's so many women out there, as you said, that might, all the things that we discussed today might not apply to them or to all like full to the fullest, but at least 30% of what we're saying, they can relate to it, but then understand what is their struggle and send it our way, because they might find that they can't relate to maybe other body types and things like that. So they can say, okay, but I'm the other side of the spectrum. So how do I tackle this? So it's interesting, right? We always say we are our biggest critics, and understanding that your struggle might not be the same as someone else's. So that was beautiful. I thought that was great advice. Thank you, Julie.
Of course. And thank you for the woman who wrote in. I love answering questions.
Love it. I love it. I think we should definitely continue to do that at the end of every episode. But at the end of the day, I think, as we always say, it's important to understand that it's your day too. I think that when we, as sisters, tying it back to my mom's experience, it's going to be one of the biggest weddings celebrated within my family, because most of us, like I went to City Hall. I didn't have that big wedding or ceremony. So I feel like for my mom, it's her first time really after raising a lot of children. It's that moment that she's going to really get dolled up and dressed up. So I think it's so important to think about moms and knowing that it's their day too. I mean, I'm sure you have so much more to say. You had your own wedding. How did your mom feel about it? Like, what was your... I would love to know a little bit more before we close out this episode, but what was your experience?
Well, actually, we're going to talk about it next week, because I'm going to have my mom on the podcast next week.
Yay! That's so exciting!
I know, she's never done it before. And I was like, you know, in honor of Mother's Day, in fact, actually, it was one of the ladies who works for us idea. And I was like, that's a really great idea. I should do it. And she, I think, is excited. So you're going to get to meet my mom and we will go all through it.
I love it. Well, I think that's all the time we have this week. Thank you so much for listening. I hope all the mothers out there have a beautiful Mother's Day filled with so much love, flowers, maybe chocolate, whatever it is that makes you extra happy and feel cared for. Hopefully some relaxation. And honestly, that might just be it.
It's so true. It's so true. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope this information has been helpful. And if so, we would love for you to leave a review wherever you get your podcasts from to help other people find us. And if you're looking for more information on one of the topics we discussed, please check out our resource library on our website, thestylishbride.com, where we have loads of free information for you. If you have specific questions, you can reach out on Instagram. Our handle is thestylishbride, and we would love to hear from you. Until next week, bye for now.